Citigroup CEO Vikram Pandit abruptly resigned today, as you've been hearing on WNYC, and the move surprised nearly everyone, from bank employees to Wall Street. The news comes just a day after the bank reported solid earnings during the last quarter. With me now to review this unexpected announcement is Robin Farzad, a contributor at Bloomberg Businessweek. Hi, Robin. Welcome back.
Amy, how are you?
I'm great. So Pandit held this job for about 5 years during some of the toughest times for the bank and for the country. Why is he leaving now? Like, why not exit in 2009?
Well, 2007, when he stepped in, he almost accidentally acquired Citigroup. Let's not forget, they bought his hedge fund in 2007, and they bought him. And a couple months later, they find that the bank is imploding, and he inherits the baton. And they wind down his hedge fund in 2008, and he's still there as the company is crashing and burning through the credit crisis. And I guess a combination of the board and the government, which had bailed out Citigroup three times, maybe thought it was best for there to be a stable hand atop Citi to get it through the worst of the financial crisis. Even so, the stock is down 90% on his watch.
It looked as if, though, so it was down 90%, but there were other signs showing Citi was finally starting to right itself after the financial crisis. Tell me about that, and tell me why Wall Street was so surprised.
There were some good numbers earlier in the week. I mean, Citi has some real idiosyncratic issues. There's a Citi Good Bank, the parts that are operating well, that are collecting cash deposits and making loans and mortgages and selling you bells and whistles at the bank. And there's the bad bank, which still has 170 billion odd assets, the toxic and regrettable variety, which Citi wanted to cleave off and wind down in a reasonable manner. And so investors have to look at this company in terms of bad bank, good bank, and they're both still represented by the stock price. And by the way, Citi has woefully underperformed some of the bigger players, such as J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo. Really, the rest of Wall Street has moved on in a much bigger way than Citigroup has.
So as I mentioned in my introduction to this, the bank reported solid earnings during the last quarter, but you mentioned that the stock price is down, 80%. How surprising was this announcement to Wall Street?
It is surprising and it isn't surprising, because there was certainly justification to remove him months ago, if not years ago. But what we're hearing, a couple of our reporters at Bloomberg spoke with someone who was privy to the board deliberations and said that he was, Vikram Pandit was rejected by regulators in March. He had a plan to boost shareholder payouts and dividends. And the board was like, well, is this emasculating for our CEO? He's not had great relations with shareholders. He took a shareholder rebuke on his pay package. They've had to take a write-down on their Smith Barney brokerage unit, and a two-level cut of its credit rating by Moody's. So in aggregate at this point, they said maybe it's time to just shoehorn him out of the business. And by the way, if you're Vikram Pandit, it's been a pretty thankless 5 years.
Yeah.
He acquires this mess that a whole other administration had kind of generated, and he has to go before Congress. He has to genuflect before the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve and the SEC. And, it's not the worst time to leave the company right now. The stock is actually up 40% this year.
And you were mentioning the drubbing that Citi has been taking. Sheila Bair, the former head of the bank regulator, FDIC, was less than kind to Pandit in her new book. With this sudden departure, is it yet another black eye for the bank?
It is. Maybe it's a black eye, I think, on corporate governance at the bank. The fact that the board, really, there was a failure of imagination with the board during the worst of the subprime crisis to realize that things could get so bad. Let's not forget Robert Rubin, who was glorified in earlier crises in this country, President Clinton's Treasury Secretary, he whiffed on it. There were people who were in charge of the Risk and Audit Committee who completely whiffed on it. And the board has changed many members since, but yet they have implicitly or explicitly given their blessings to Vikram Pandit. And it was widely perceived on Wall Street and among investors that he was more a caretaker. I mean, this bank is more of a basket case than some of its competitors, and it's not in sort of any sort of position of strength vis-a-vis the government to kind of go back and be as aggressive, anywhere nearly as aggressive as it used to be.
Pandit is now saying to you guys at Bloomberg and CNBC it was his decision to leave. He's also had some friction with the board. So was he forced out, or was this his decision?
You know, it depends on how you want to look at that Rorschach. There's a Sheila Bair school of thought, and certain investors certainly believe that he was forced out. Maybe the Saudi prince, who is a major shareholder and nothing gets done without his say, finally said, you know what, it's time for him to go. And after all, there is an election coming up next month. There's going to be new people in the Treasury Department, regardless of who wins, because Geithner isn't around long enough. And they have to ask themselves, do we want a new person at the helm? And in fact, they went back and tapped a veteran who was there since he graduated from Harvard in 1983. So this is a person who knows the bank, who knows where all the bodies are buried, and who has immediate respect on Wall Street.
Robin Farzad is a contributor at Bloomberg Businessweek. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Amy.
This is WNYC.